1 Thessalonians and chapter 5. Yes, and I'm reading from the New King James Version. This is titled The Day of the Lord. But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labour pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night, nor of darkness. Therefore let us not sleep as do others, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night, and those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love, and as a helmet the hope of salvation. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you also are doing. And we urge you, brethren, to recognize those who labor among you and are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace among yourselves. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly, comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks, for this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely, and may your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. Brethren, pray for us. Greet all the brethren with a holy kiss. I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren. The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you. Amen. This passage I've been looking at for some time, and it's a passage that, well, it's a passage that, in the light of what's going on around us in the world, well, when Paul was writing to the Thessalonians, it was something that was of concern to them. Now, we've got to take into context this chapter in light of the previous chapter, the concern of the Thessalonians about Jesus coming again, and those who had fallen asleep or who had died, and those who were left behind, and what was going to happen. And these were things that Paul was writing to comfort them, comfort one another with these words. And as we read scripture, we think about what will be the end of the age. What do we know about it? And that was a title then that I was considering for this day. What do we know, or what do you know? Well, what do you know? We were listening to a man who gives monologues, and he was speaking about a preacher, and he didn't have very much to say, but he's just said the same passage over, or the same sentence over and over again. But there is a certain degree of emphasis on this particular question, and it's, what do you know? What do you know? What are you sure about? What do you know? Or what do you know? You know, what is it that you know? Or what is it that you are sure about? What do you know? Now, the emphasis of that question. Well, I was thinking about a man of God in the Old Testament, and the man of God was Job. And Job was a man who lived very early on in the history of the world. And he was a man who came into trouble. He was a man who came into trouble in his own life with his family, and he was questioning why, what is it that's happening to me? What is it that's happening to me? And his friends then came to him and they tried to comfort him, and they said, well, you know, you come into trouble, but it must be because of your sin. And that was a very simplistic answer, wasn't it? And that was not what it came to at the end of time, because we know, and as we look upon this world and we see what's going on with our physical eyes, we know that there is a spiritual dimension. And that was the same with Job, wasn't it? Because it was that Satan came before the Lord and brought this trouble upon Job, but the Lord permitted it. But what did Job know? And in Job chapter 19, amongst all the complaints and the woe that Job was speaking about, this is what Job said in verse 25 and 26. For I know that my Redeemer lives, and he shall stand at last on the earth. And after my skin is destroyed, this I know, that in my flesh I shall see God, whom I shall see for myself, and my eyes shall behold, and not another. How my heart yearns within me. I know that my Redeemer lives. And as the hymn says, what joy that blessed assurance gives. But this was Job who was speaking before Jesus came, before Jesus died, before Jesus rose again. And he was speaking then about the resurrection of his own body and Jesus appearing on the earth. It's amazing, isn't it? What Job knew. And isn't that wonderful that we know things, that we know. What do we know? We know that our Redeemer lives. We know our Redeemer lives. But we don't know everything. We don't know everything, do we? We don't know all the details of this. And we need to walk humbly then. That revelation that was given to Job, the Lord had to chide Job, because Job's comforters, his friends, they were in the wrong, but Job didn't know it all. And Job chapter 38. And the Lord says, well, you're speaking things about me, this is to paraphrase it, but you don't know everything. Now I'm going to question you. And it says, then the Lord answered Job out of the whirlwind and said, who is this who darkens counsel by words without knowledge? Where were you? You know, what are you? Who are you? That's 38 verse 2. And Job had been speaking on his own defense, but he didn't have an answer then. In chapter 40, the Lord speaks to Job again. More, this is after the Lord was saying, look, when I created the world, when I sustain things, what have you got an answer to that? And Job didn't. It says, moreover, the Lord answered Job and said, shall the one who contends with the Almighty correct him? He who rebukes God, let him answer it. Then Job answered the Lord and said, behold, I am vile. What shall I answer you? I lay my hand over my mouth. Once I have spoken, but I will not answer. Yes, twice, but I'll proceed no further. You know, when the Lord spoke to him, he had nothing to say, even though this was the man who knew that his Redeemer lived. What do you know? What do you know? And when Job, the Lord has finished speaking to Job, and then he speaks to his comforters and says, you are in the wrong. And he said, what does he speak about Job? Well, Job says this in chapter 42. Then Job answered the Lord and said, I know that you can do everything. That's what we know, isn't it? We know that the Lord can do everything, that no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. That's a comfort to know, isn't it? In this world where what is going on, no purpose of yours can be withheld from you. You asked, who is this who hides counsel without knowledge? Therefore I have uttered what I did not understand, things too wonderful for me which I did not know. Listen, please, and let me speak. You said, I will question you, and you shall answer me. I have heard of you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eye sees you. Therefore I abhor myself and repent in dust and ashes. We have some knowledge, don't we, of the Lord's mercy to us. We know our Redeemer lives if we know the Lord as our Redeemer. But when he stands on the earth, well, we will bow down, won't we? We'll worship, we'll praise him for who he is. It's wonderful, isn't it, when the Lord reveals himself to us that we would do that now. And if you haven't sought the Lord, then seek him now, that he would be your Redeemer, that you can say, I know that my Redeemer lives. Well, what did Job experience then? He experienced the voice of the Lord speaking to him and telling him things that he didn't know. If we go over to Isaiah chapter 55, Isaiah was speaking as a prophet on behalf of the Lord to the people. And this is what he says in verse 6 of Isaiah 55. Seek the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Let the wicked forsake his way, and the unrighteous man his thoughts. Let him return to the Lord, and he will have mercy on him, and to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. So wonderful the message of salvation there. For my thoughts are not your thoughts, nor are your ways my ways, says the Lord. For as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. The Lord knows everything, and we know such a small part of what the Lord knows, but it's in mercy that the Lord has revealed that to us, that he would bring us to salvation. Tim and I went to a sugar beet growers meeting on Thursday. Now, I know a little bit about sugar beet because I'm harvesting it yesterday with Tim, and it's a bit of a drawn out process. And I sort of wrote down a few notes about sugar beet. I didn't know this, you know. I think we've got, well, I know a little bit about sugar beet. I've been growing it for 30 odd years. I'll say 30 odd years anyway, yes. It might be a bit more than that. I'll just inform you of this. The ideal sugar beet, as you probably know, what you get sugar from in this country is a root. And the sun shines on the beet leaf and it produces sugar within the root. Well, I didn't know this technical fact. And it says the ideal sugar beet to convert sunlight into sugar by Tim's birthday should have 3 meters squared of leaf area. Well, I wonder when Tim's birthday is. Well, it's not. It's actually the day after Tim's birthday, but I said that. I didn't know that. I do, after being informed, after being growing beet for 30 years, I didn't know that. And apparently the optimum, in optimum conditions, a sugar beet plant takes 6 days to produce a new leaf in April. It takes 3.5 days in May and 2.5 days in June. So by June, you want the sugar beet leaf to have 3 meters squared of leaf area. And this can be affected by a lack of nitrogen, and it can be affected by a lack of moisture, by drought. Well, I was informed there, 30 years growing of sugar beet. I went to college and studied growing sugar beet. Didn't know that. You know, it's academic, isn't it? It's interest, but it's, you know, we can come to Scripture with and approach it with an academic interest, can't we? But how does that impact us? What is that effect upon us? Well, the Lord knows everything, doesn't he? The Lord knows everything. We make plans for our life, don't we? And do we make plans with the Lord in mind? Do we submit our plans to the Lord who knows everything? Well, what do we know? What do we know? Well, in James chapter 4, the Lord, speaking through James, says, God resists the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. That's not only spoken of in James, it's spoken of in Peter, and it goes back to the Old Testament, doesn't it? It goes back to Proverbs. Humble yourselves, therefore, in the sight of the Lord, and he will lift you up. And then verse 13. Come now, you who say, today or tomorrow we will go into such and such a city, spend a year there, buy and sell and make a profit, whereas you do not know what will happen tomorrow. For what is your life? It is even a vapor that appears for a little time and then vanishes away. Instead, you ought to say, if the Lord wills, we shall live and do this or that. Well, what do we know? What don't we know? We don't know what will happen tomorrow. But we do know, if we know the Lord, that the Lord knows, and if we trust him, he will direct our paths. Says that again in Proverbs, doesn't it? I know that a couple of members of the congregation anyway have gone for interviews in the last few weeks and days and weeks anyway. And as we trust the Lord, then the Lord will direct our paths. We don't know what will happen tomorrow, but the Lord does know. We don't know. Well, we have that desire, don't we, then, to know more. We have that desire to know more. Well, what don't we need to know? What don't we need to know? Well, we'll go back to Genesis. Genesis and chapter 3. That desire for knowledge was the temptation that Satan deceived, didn't he, Adam and Eve? Now the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made, and he said to the woman, has God indeed said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat it, nor shall you touch it. Well, that was adding to Scripture, wasn't it? Nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die, for God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. And the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. Well, it was that thirst for knowledge and that desire to know what the Lord knows, knowing good and evil, but not having that life which God alone can give, that caused them to sin, wasn't it? That desire for knowledge. When I gave you those facts, I won't test you afterwards on sugar beet. That's a quest for knowledge, and it could inform my growing of sugar beet, but I can't affect the rainfall. I could maybe apply nitrogen so that the plant is able to grow sufficiently well to be able to take that up. But it's God who provides the sunshine. to provide a leaf area of 3 meters squared. Thank you, Tim. If the sun doesn't shine in June, well, it's not going to. It's God who supplies these things, isn't it? God supplies the sunshine. God knows these things. But we don't know, and that thirst and that quest for knowledge, but not that quest for knowing God, is the danger, isn't it? It's as Rob was saying there, that thirst for desire to know science, but science can't give the answer that God alone can give. What don't you need to know? What do you not need to know? Well, Christians can fall into the dangers of seeking to know the academics of the end times, particularly. But what does Paul say then? But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. Well, times and seasons, we think, well, God made a promise to Noah that there would be seed time and harvest day and night, so we can trust that to God. Concerning the times and seasons. But you've got to think about that in the context of the verses before. And the Apostle Paul is not giving this information for academic interest. He thinks it is for the well-being of the Thessalonians. And I find that interesting because he says in verse 13 of chapter 4, "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren." You know, if you think, well, I don't need to know anything. I don't need to know anything. I just need to know that the Lord, need to know that my Redeemer lives. And that's the vital thing. And that's what we're going to look at in a little while. "But I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep." The Lord is wanting to give us information for our comfort, for our blessing, that we would be more effective as witnesses for him. "I do not want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. For if we believe that Jesus died and rose again, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. For the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, and with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first." Doesn't tie in with Job. "I shall see God. My eyes shall see him, and not another. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air. And thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words." Then our passage, "But concerning the times and the seasons, brethren, you have no need that I should write to you. For you yourselves know perfectly that the day of the Lord so comes as a thief in the night. For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labour pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape." But it says, "But concerning the times and seasons, you have no need that I should write to you." Well, when Paul was writing to the Thessalonians about the day of the Lord, how long ago was that? Has the day of the Lord occurred yet? Well, each day is the Lord's day. This is the Lord's day, and we worship him. But this is speaking about a specific day. And I think when Paul was writing at the end of that epistle, in the last verse 27, it says, "I charge you by the Lord that this epistle be read to all the holy brethren." You know, it didn't happen in the Thessalonians' lifetime, but it is for us, isn't it? Because we do see the signs of the times, if we discern the signs of the times. "For when they say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them as labour pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. This is why we're not to be ignorant. But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. We are to watch and to be sober. We're not to sleep. When churches or those that profess to be Christians will say, well, it doesn't matter about that because it's not happened yet. And Jesus warned about that. You know, if you say, well, the coming of the Lord is not yet. He spoke the parable, didn't he, about the man who was the merchant that was away for a time, and he gave his servants charge to look after his affairs. And the wicked servant said, well, he's a long time coming back, and began to beat those servants, you know, began to mistreat them. And then he says he'll come back at an hour, that the merchant would come back at an hour that he wasn't prepared for. And then there would be punishment for that wicked servant. We're to be wise servants, we're to know things, but we're to know what we need to know. But yet there is a contention, in a sense, or there's a between what Paul says and what Jesus says. Now this is strange. Ooh. He says, you're not in darkness that day should overtake you as a thief. But Jesus said in Matthew 24, no man knows the day nor the hour, not even the Son of Man. But people, I think, misinterpret that. No man knows the day nor the hour. It doesn't speak about a week or a month or a year. No man knows the day nor the hour. We need to watch. That's what Paul is saying here. We need to watch. You, brethren, are not in darkness so that this day should overtake you as a thief. You are all the sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the night nor of darkness. Therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love as a helmet, the hope of salvation. When Jesus was speaking about no man knows the day nor the hour, he also said if you knew, or if a man knew what hour the thief was coming, he would have barred the doors. He'd have made provision that thief would not have broken into the house. So there's no contention there really with Paul, because it's just backing the Lord Jesus up, because the Scripture, there is no contention with Scripture. It's our interpretation of it. We need to humble ourselves. We don't know everything, but what we do know is that the Lord is coming again. And we know that the Lord is coming again soon, because we do see what is going on in the world. I think Rose had a message, or it comes up with an alert on her phone of a site called Prophecy Watch. Prophecy Watch, it was saying that the Pope Francis and the senior Sunni Muslim Imam have signed an agreement, a fraternity, to work together. We're all brothers. Well, isn't that a sign of the times? When they shall say peace and safety, then sudden destruction comes upon them, as labour pains upon a pregnant woman, and they shall not escape. But we are of the day. Let us watch and be sober. What do we need to know? Well, we need to know the Lord. We need to know the Lord as our Redeemer. We need to know that the Lord is coming again, and he's coming again soon. And what do we need to do about it then? What do we need to do about it? Well, the Apostle Paul doesn't just give the academics, as it were. He gives instructions, doesn't he? He says, therefore, let us not sleep as others do, but let us watch and be sober. For those who sleep, sleep at night. Those who get drunk are drunk at night. But let us who are of the day be sober, putting on the breastplate of faith and love as a helmet, the hope of salvation. We need to be strengthened. We need that armour on, that gospel armour. For God did not appoint us to wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us, that whether we wake or sleep, we should live together with him. Isn't that wonderful to know that security, to know security of knowing the Lord? And then he gives that message then to believers. Therefore, comfort each other and edify one another, just as you're also doing. You need to build one another up. We urge you, brethren, to recognise those who labour among you and who are over you in the Lord and admonish you, and to esteem them very highly in love for their work's sake. Be at peace amongst yourselves. There's no contention in Scripture. There shouldn't be contention between brothers and sisters in the Lord. Be at peace amongst yourselves, because we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Now we exhort you, brethren, warn those who are unruly. Comfort the faint-hearted, uphold the weak, be patient with all. See that no one renders evil for evil to anyone, but always pursue what is good both for yourselves and for all. Rejoice always. Shout for joy and sing your praises to the King. Rejoice always. Paul has that theme, doesn't he? You know, even though he was going through tough times, you know, I know how to be in want, I know how to be in, you know, he was beaten, stripped, he was stoned, he was shipwrecked. Rejoice always. And Philippians says, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Well, that's easier said than done, isn't it? When we're in the position of, maybe not in that position of Job, but he knew. And he humbled himself before God. And the Lord lifted him up. The Lord will lift us up. The Lord will lift us up out of our difficulties. We need to pray without ceasing. The Lord will lift us up. Pray without ceasing. In everything give thanks. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus for you. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not despise prophecies. Test all things. Hold fast what is good. You know what I'm saying this morning? Test all things against Scripture. The Scripture is what is truth. Hold fast what is good. What is good? The Lord is good. Abstain from every form of evil. Now may the God of peace himself sanctify you completely. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be preserved blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. Can we keep ourselves? No. He who calls you is faithful, who also will do it. The Lord is faithful. The Lord will keep us. The Lord is perfect, perfect in knowledge. We're imperfect. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. The truth is not in us. But if we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sin and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. What do we need to know? We need to know the Lord as our righteousness. We need to know the Lord as our Saviour. We need to know that we don't know everything, even when we come to trusting the Lord, that we don't know everything. But the Lord knows. The important thing is to know the Lord, to know he is coming again, to rejoice in God our Saviour. He will keep us. He is faithful. He will keep us to the end. Amen. Father, we do bless you and thank you that you are perfect in knowledge. Your word says when we were knit together in our mother's womb, you beheld us. Lord, you know everything. And Lord, as the hymn says, we stand amazed in the presence of Jesus the Nazarene. Wonder how he could love me, a sinner condemned unclean. But how marvellous, how wonderful, and our song shall ever be. How marvellous, how wonderful is my Saviour's love to me. Father, we thank you for your mercy. We thank you for your love. Lord, we do praise you and bless you. While we were yet enemies, Christ died for us. And Lord, we pray, Lord, that you would help us to abstain from all appearance of evil. Lord, that you would help us in our walk with you to be faithful to you, faithful witnesses to you. Lord, that men would see our good works and glorify our Father which is in heaven. Lord, we pray that you would have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon this land. Have mercy upon your church. That, Lord, that you would indeed revive us again. That your people would rejoice in you over sinners in this land, so much in darkness, turning to you and turning to know you as Lord and Saviour. Lord, have mercy upon us. Have mercy upon this land. Have mercy upon this world. But Lord, we do pray that you would open our eyes, that we would lift up our eyes on high, see that our redemption is drawing nigh. It's drawing near. So, Lord, we pray that you would help us, that you would strengthen us, that you would teach us more about yourself. Teach us to love others. Teach us to love one another, Lord, as you have loved us. Oh, Lord, we pray that you would burn in our hearts, Lord, by your Spirit, with that love for you and then for one another. Because we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.